reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not the end to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bonds, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen what he had done, began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In preparing for the Mass this weekend, I found this humorous story. The passenger in a taxi cab said, "Hey, buddy," and tapped the driver on the shoulder. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, almost hit a bus, jumped a curb, and almost went through the plate glass windows at the front of a shop. For a few moments, there was a complete silence, and nobody moved. Then the driver said, "Man, you scared the life out of me." "I'm sorry," said the passenger. "I didn't realize that tapping you on the shoulder like that could give you such a shock." "It's not your fault," said the driver. "Today is my first day driving a cab. For the last 25 years, I worked for an undertaker and drove the hearse. You're the first passenger who has tapped me on the shoulder." Today, we encounter Jesus as he makes the journey to Bethany. It's somewhat consoling to know that Jesus himself experienced the full gambit of emotion. Throughout the four Gospels, we hear accounts of those different emotions. Just a few weeks ago, we heard about the depth of the mercy-filled relationship struck up with the woman at the well. We remember Jesus' joy as Lazarus turned his life around. Jesus' anger with the traders buying and selling goods in the temple. And today we have Jesus in a state of grief. He's there with Martha and Mary at the death of his good friend Lazarus. We meet Martha and Mary in their hour of need. Their brother Lazarus has died. And we can clearly hear that sense of frustration that Jesus didn't seem to get there in time. This gospel reading is often used in the celebration of a funeral or memorial mass, and maybe for two good reasons. Firstly, it identifies with our experience of disappointment, frustration, and often helplessness in the face of someone we love coming to die. But secondly, it also gives us a beautiful expression of hope that at the death of a loved one, we entrust them to the Lord. Like Martha, we recognize Jesus as the Savior who has come into the world. "Yes, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life." Sadly, in recent weeks, our own faith may be tested in the face of illness and fear. So many of us have been affected by the illness, and sadly, too many have died because of the coronavirus, a virus that has no respect for age, for religious affiliation, for place of birth. Whether in fear or in grief, we may be tempted to despair, but today's gospel challenges us to be a people of hope. Martha and Mary were alive. Lazarus was dead. But all experienced the transformative love of mercy. Each were touched by God. God can change our lives in life and in death. In death, even in death, we are never beyond God's reach. In recent weeks, I believe there have been great expressions of our practically living out our faith. We don't have to die to experience the love of God and the presence of our Lord close to us. God's love is shown perhaps in our care for each other as we stay indoors to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. That is an expression of love. God's love is also given expression through the essential services that have continued, like the grocery shops, the pharmacies, the transportation service workers who turn up each day for work. Perhaps its greatest expression has been in our healthcare professionals and practitioners, the frontline staff in our hospitals, and also the many doctors and nurses who have volunteered to return to work to help us in this time of need. As we listen to the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead, St. John's Gospel offers us a unique message. Eternal life is not something that begins when we die. It begins not at the end of time, but at baptism, and is nourished by our simple acts of faith. I doubt that many Christians will forget these 40 days of Lent. We have been forced to leave behind what comes so naturally, that desire to go to school or to work, as we always have, meeting friends, shaking hands, going to the movies, going out to eat, indeed, even going to Mass, has all changed. In order to stay safe and to stay well and to bring about the demise of the pandemic, we may even find ourselves saying an extra prayer, or perhaps in our newly found freedom, joining us here in Holy Family each day for Mass. Lent has always been an opportunity to evaluate our lives, and the coronavirus has called each one of us to reflect on what is really important today. For his faithful people, God is available to us through Jesus in the here and now. Whoever believes in him has eternal life now. We know that death will come to each of us. Jesus' words cannot be taken literally when he says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." What he does say is that when death, physical death, comes, we will not be separated from God's love then either. Our God has robbed physical death of its power, because now, through Jesus, there is life on both sides of the grave. Jesus said to Martha, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." And then he asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" And Martha confesses her faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who was to come into the world." Jesus celebrates and confirms her declaration of faith as he performs one of the greatest miracles in St. John's Gospel and raises her brother Lazarus from the dead. Today, we're inspired and challenged by Martha's declaration of faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ." On this journey through Lent, we are called to reflect on the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Maybe in this year more than others, because of the coronavirus pandemic, we've been challenged to face our own mortality. That on the day we die, our friend and Savior will reward our life of faith and offer us new life in heaven. And so on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we are faced with the same difficult question put to Martha. Today, after explaining to Martha that he was the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Today, we are asked the same question. In the face of our current trials, do you believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Please God, our personal response to that question will always be that response that brings us closer to the Lord. Lord, we ask you to guide our journey. In these times when it's not possible for a congregation to be present or for you to be close to us in the church or to ask a question, we're going to share with you, as priests, our different email addresses. In case you had a question, a query, you wanted a chat, Or perhaps you might like this homily translated into English if it didn't make sense in its current form. And my email address, which will probably come up on your screen, is fatherjoe@holyfamily.org. FRJOE@holyfamily.org. And if you do want to make contact, I hope to reply, will reply.